from the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of August 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will help us look at the weather forecast, and we'll hear about the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien from K-State. Along the way today, the statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation will update conditions in their regions, and we'll hear about day two of last week's Follow the Corn Buzz Tour. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit finished the July contract at 847.5. That's for next year, down a penny and three quarters. The nearby SEPs at 854.75 were down 7.25. The hard red July in Kansas City, well, not available at the moment, but the lead option September's at 9.11.25 were down a penny and a quarter. From the corn pit in Chicago, $7.89, down 5.5 cents. December futures at 7.95.25, down 5.5 in the corn pit. And the March contract at $7.96, 5.5 cents lower. So the first three contracts in corn trading 5.5 cents lower for the day. The May futures were down a nickel at $7.90.25, and July at $7.76, finished 4.5 cents lower. September corn, $6.82, 3.5 cents higher for next year, and December of next year at 6.48.5, up 0.75 cents. September bean futures, September's at 17.18, down 11.75. November futures were up a penny and 0.75 cents at $17.20. That for the harvest month in the soybeans in January, 17.16.5, 5.25 higher for the day at 17.16.5. March futures, 16.39.75, up 9.5, and May beans at 15.50, up 8.25. July contract, $15.20.25, up 8 cents. And next year's November beans at 13.38, up 15.75 for the day. Bean meal futures at 5.36, up 4.20. Bean oil, 55.81, finished a dime lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at 123.75, up 27.5 cents. September feeders at 143.60, up 95, and December at $70.75, and the lean hogs down 30 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures trading the October at $96.10 a barrel, up 63 cents. Ethanol at 258.2, that's 0.4 cents lower for the day. Natural gas down 4.3 cents at 261. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.11.6, up just about 0.4 cents for the afternoon. Gold futures trading $1,666.50 an ounce, down $5.90. And the dollar at 81.36, that's down 0.29. The CRB index at 306.87 is up 0.83 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They say sunny skies, a high of 87 degrees on a northeast wind at 5 to 8 miles per hour. And then tonight, mostly clear, a low of just 60 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 89. East winds at 3 to 7. Wednesday night, mostly clear and a low of 62 on Wednesday evening. And then as we turn our attention to Thursday, sunny skies in 89. Thursday night, mostly clear in 64. Friday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly sunny, a high of 87. Friday night, showers continue, mostly cloudy, a low of 69. And that chance of showers runs right on through Saturday, mostly cloudy, a high of 84 degrees. Saturday night, showers, mostly cloudy and 68. And Sunday, the showers continue, potentially, partly sunny though, a high of 84. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 67 degrees. By the time we get to Labor Day, that's Monday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 86 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Wesley Church and Student Ministry at Goodwin and Green in Urbana. A diverse and welcoming community, Wesley holds their Sunday traditional service at 9:30 a.m. or contemporary service at 11:15 a.m. Details at wesleyui.org.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the marketplace. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
And tell me about the market and what you heard across, well, not the squawk box now, but from Chicago and how things traded today.
Well, you know, consolidation seems to be the word of the day here. Very, very, very slow news day. A little of anything talked about out there. The main things, basically was it looks like a couple more boatloads of beans sold to China. The fund activity, very light. The noon sheet said 2,000 contracts of corn sold by the funds and 1,000 contracts of beans. So very light volume, low volume trade that way. Of course, we're watching the weather coming up the Gulf a little bit that way. A few elevators shut down in the New Orleans area that way. But continuing to hear poor yields on everything along that way. And as far as the weather goes, as you said, rain for the Labor Day weekend. But Elwin Taylor of Iowa State, he made a comment last night, said he believes the drought could continue through the winter months all the way into the spring of next year. And that didn't sound good.
It didn't sound good indeed. Speaking of drought, the conditions across the Midwest have been bad. Aflatoxin has been talked about a number of times. Have you heard any indication that aflatoxin is widespread that will create much of a problem with being able to feed this particular crop to livestock?
You know, I just got off the phone with a fellow crop insurance agent, and they just bought an agency down around St. Louis, and they said down in that area the aflatoxin is running rampant, and they're having a lot of problems. But as we are sending some people out and testing up in our area over here, it's seeming to hopefully subside a little bit, and it doesn't look like it'll be so bad. So there's going to be pockets and areas where it's terrible. And there's going to be some other areas where I think that it's not near as bad as it's going to, as feared so far.
There is a place to push that crop off to in the case it's above 20 parts per billion?
There's a lot of things going on. There are different elevators that are taking it, and there's talk in some cases that some of the ethanol plants in the areas where it is really bad would possibly take and set up a time period where they would run the aflatoxin corn and then just haul or burn the DDGs and get rid of them that way instead of sell them for feed.
Any good advice for producers who are looking out at their crop at this point and wondering whether selling across the scale might be a good option?
Well, I think that, there's two things to look at. We've got very low carry going into the spring. In fact, it's an inverse. We're thinking very aggressively about wanting to sell the crop. Two things. Number one, if it's a poor quality crop, we definitely would like to sell it across the scales. If it's a very good quality crop, well, we might want to look at binning it because there is going to be quite a premium for corn later in the year. But you want to protect somehow with this this big inverse that we have, Todd.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Yesterday afternoon, USDA NASS released the latest crop progress report. It shows that 95% of the corn crop in 18 states has reached the dough stage. That compares to 81% on the rolling five-year average. 76% of the crop has dented compared to 46%. And 26% of the corn crop is now listed as mature. 6% of the corn crop has been harvested. That compares with the five-year rolling average of just 2%. The condition of the crop, 26% fair, 19% good, and 3% excellent, compares to last week at 26%, 20%, and 3% respectively. For the soybeans, 96% of the crop is setting pods at this point, dropping leaves set at 8%. That's usually about 4% on the rolling five-year average in the condition of the soybean crop, 32% in fair condition, 26% good, 4% in excellent condition. Last week, 32%, 27%, and 4%. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is LaTravis Brazil. Iowa experienced widespread rainfall late last week with the highest precipitation in southwest and south central parts of the state. This was the wettest week in 10 weeks and only the second week of the past 15 weeks to average greater than normal rainfall. Topsoil moisture improved to 79% very short to short, while subsoil moisture improved slightly to 94% short to very short. 53% of the corn crop remained in the very poor to poor condition rating. 96% of corn crop is at or beyond the dough stage, while 82% of the corn crop has reached the dense stage. 27% of the corn crop is now mature, 2 weeks ahead of normal. 19% of the soybean is turning color. Reports of soybean leaves came in from across the state. Soybean condition improved slightly from the past week with 64% fair or better. This is LaTravis Brazil reporting for the USDA NAS. I will fill off.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. Temperatures averaged a near normal 73.7 degrees, while rainfall accumulations came up well short of normal, with only a tenth of an inch being reported statewide for the 7-day period ending Sunday, August 26. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was reported at 74% very short, 22% short, and 4% adequate. Corn in the dense stage was reported at 91%, compared to 67% 1 year ago and 56% for the 5-year average. 44% was reported in the mature stage, and this compares to 8% 1 year ago and 10% for the 5-year average. Corn harvest progress now stands at 6%, compared to 1% last year and for the 5-year averages. Overall, the state's corn crop condition was rated in a disappointing 43% very poor, 35% poor, 18% fair, and only 4% as good. Soybeans, setting pods, advanced to 97%, compared to 95% a year ago and 92% for the 5-year average. 20% of the crop was turning yellow, compared to 7% last year and for the 5-year averages. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in 25% very poor, 26% poor, 38% fair, and 11% good. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with a weather and crops report for the week ending August 26, 2012. Cooler temperatures near the end of the week, coupled with precipitation across the southeastern third of the state, were welcome. However, northern and western counties continued dry. Temperatures averaged 2 degrees above normal across the Panhandle and north-central counties and near normal elsewhere. Highs were generally in the mid-90s and lows in the mid-40s. Topsoil and subsoil moisture supplies continued to rate short or very short in near 95% of the state. Dryland corn harvest picked up momentum across the southeast and portions of east-central Nebraska, with 4% of the crop harvested. Drought-damaged cornfields continue to be chopped for silage, where moisture is still high enough. Irrigation was in the last stages in most areas of the state, and cattle producers were waiting for access to stock fields, as many producers are supplemental feeding livestock. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Craig Anderson with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with weekly crop weather. As of August 26th, 26% of soybeans were turning yellow or beyond, which was 18 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. 4% of soybeans were dropping leaves or beyond, compared to 1% average. Soybeans were rated 80% in fair to good condition, compared to 81% the previous week. 75% of corn was in the dense stage or beyond, compared to 50% last week, and 35% average. 2% of corn was mature, compared to 1% average. Corn condition was rated 76% fair to good, compared to 77% the previous week. Corn harvested for silage was 34% complete. Harvest of canola, sweet corn, and potatoes advanced. Sugar beet harvest continued with 4% of the crop harvested. Most reporting stations recorded less than normal precipitation amounts during the week. This is the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 26, 2012. I'm Craig Anderson with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 0.5 inch, which helped to improve drought conditions with less than half the state still under the extreme to exceptional drought, compared with nearly 70% on July 31st. Below normal temperatures were experienced during the week, ranging from 44 degrees as a low to 96 degrees for the high. 73% of the corn acreage is in the dent stage, compared to 42% for the five-year average. 17% of the corn acreage is now mature and safe from frost. Corn harvest is underway, with 2% harvested compared to 0% for last year and the five-year average. Condition of the corn crop is rated 10% good to excellent, compared with 37% last year at this time. 97% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 88% for the five-year average. 11% of the soybeans are shedding leaves, compared with 4% for the five-year average. Condition of the soybean crop continued to improve and is now rated 23% good to excellent, compared to 45% last year at this time. Livestock are in mostly good condition and are benefiting from the improving pastures and cooling temperatures. This is Greg Matley reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You know, this week I'm recounting our Follow the Corn bus trip to New Orleans day by day. Now, Tuesday was a travel day for our merry crew of 53. Frankly, I thought it'd be a pretty easy trip from Tunica to New Orleans. It was, and it wasn't. Here's the thing. When you travel in a large group, well, things happen. I found out just what at our first rest stop. That's when one of the old farmers, let's say, faded. Now, it didn't shake me too much, and I made a call on the bus's mic for the nurses I knew were on board. They did a bang-up job, and for a moment, I thought we were headed for a hospital, which the security guard at the rest stop told us was an hour away in Jackson. Welcome to healthcare in rural America. Three things here. First, the patient recovered quickly. Second, when you travel with older folks, they carry lots of drugs. You can't imagine what showed up in the front of the bus. And finally, Tuesday was good practice. We had one fade Wednesday and one on Thursday and two more again on Friday. To the two nurses on board, thank you, and oh my gosh, thank you. You both set my heart at ease and you took great care of your fellow travelers. Well, that wasn't the end of the fun on Tuesday. We were doing some last-minute jockeying and diverted the bus to Dan Zwicker's office on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. That's right, we showed up just about 5 o'clock with a bus full of groupies. Now, how'd you like that at your workplace? Zwicker stayed with us right through Friday morning, and that was more than a good deal. Since we made the detour, we headed right across the causeway. It's a 24-mile bridge to New Orleans, with Dan giving us his view of the market the whole way. Now, my partner at ACES, Steve Parker, he's the cameraman who makes everything I do look pretty good, has a saying about things like that. I'd rather be lucky than good. It doesn't hurt to be a little bit of both. Welcome to NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net. Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. In just a moment, if all things go well, we'll talk with Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University and will help us take a look at the agricultural energy markets. For those who are interested in our Follow the Corn Bus Tour, and you visit our website from time to time, you'll see at willag.org at the top our agricultural happenings. And yesterday I posted the story from Monday, and today I'll post the story from Tuesday. But if you hit Read More, right under that story, you can listen to the stories, and you'll see just one picture there of what we've been up to. So if you're interested in a bit more about Follow the Corn, you can see some of that online at willag.org. Hopefully, Dan O'Brien of K-State University is now on the phone line to take up the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Yes, Todd. How you doing?
Oh, I'm really good. So let's skip forward in the PowerPoint presentation that you sent to us, because I think I want to start not with the mandates, but all the way down at the carryover and the RINs.
Yep.
And the potential impact on corn use. Most of our listeners will understand RINs at this point and what they are. Those are renewable identification numbers, and that they are given to the companies that blend in order to meet the mandate. So if they blend more than the mandate, they can use those RINs later. They're certificates. They understand that. Tell me what kind of impact that might have on corn use in the coming year.
We've had dueling economists in terms of analyses to figure out what that is. And Nick Paulson and Daryl Good, Scott Irwin from there in Illinois, have put out some analysis that have talked about how if RINs are used flexibly this year, it could help account for some of the shortfall in corn usage for ethanol production, or shortfall ethanol production stemming from high corn prices, a better way to put it. Bruce Babcock out of Iowa State did some analysis that, in essence, looked at what would happen if we used up the RINs that were available. That, again, Paulson identified about 2.4 to 2.6 billion gallons worth this year, and also what would happen if we just flat did away with the renewable fuel standard altogether, and showed that that basically, if you cut back on, if you take those measures, you'll get back, cut corn usage down to about 4.2, 4.3 billion bushels of corn. But you probably, unless you go into further dramatic changes in environmental and energy policy, you're probably not going to look at a major cutback, you know, below 4 billion bushels of corn usage. And, of course, some analysis came out here recently from the folks at Purdue with Farm Foundation, not too dissimilar, although they are, I guess, how they deal with the blend wall is still a question as I'm trying to understand how they approach that whole thing. So, overall, it seems that even if we did take the step of cutting back on the renewable fuel standard, and took that type of a dramatic step, we still have enough inflexibility in the system in terms of the use of oxygenated fuels that we probably aren't going to see a dramatic shortfall this year. Really, the issues come into play next year as the renewable fuel standard keeps going up to 13.8, then 14.4, then 15 billion gallons per year over the next 3 years. And if we're blending at about 13 billion gallons with the blend wall, we have unanswered questions as to how we're going to reconcile those two numbers.
And we'll try to take some of that up with you when we talk with you again in 1 month. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take up the agricultural energy markets. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day.
It's National Cherry Turnover Day. It's also St. Augustine of Hippo's Day, patron of brewers. On this day in agricultural history in 1798, the first American vineyard was planted in Lexington, Kentucky. A Frenchman named John Dufour accepted the challenge by the Wine Industry Association of Kentucky to introduce commercial winemaking in the U.S. The first crop was a great success, but that was the last year the vineyard bore fruit. Disease plagued the grapes, and Dufour eventually moved on to Indiana. By the way, a small portion of the grapes at the Lexington site eventually made it to the table of Thomas Jefferson. In 1837, John Leah and William Perrins of Worcester, England, started manufacturing Worcester sauce. The first product was so strong that it was considered inedible, and a barrel of the offending brew was exiled to Leah and Perrins' basement. A few years later, needing space for storage, the two decided to move the barrel, but gave it one more try, discovering the sauce had fermented and mellowed. In 1875, Stephen McCormick died. He was the inventor and manufacturer of a cast iron plow with removable parts. And in 2002, Spaniards threw 120 tons of tomatoes at each other at the annual Tomanita Festival in Buenos, Spain. The annual tomato fight is the biggest food fight in the world. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to talk about Isaac and other things that are impacting the flow of corn and, well, the progress of soybeans in the United States and then around the world as well. Let's start with Isaac and what's been happening in the Gulf of Mexico, please, Don.
Well, recently here in the last couple of hours, it's gone to a Category 1 hurricane now. Hurricane Isaac is tracking about as expected, headed towards the Louisiana coast. New computer models are tracking it maybe a little bit slightly more west, but we're really not going to know maybe until Thursday on exactly what the impacts will be for the Corn Belt. I'll tell you this, that all indications are that we certainly have significant rains, the biggest rains we've seen all summer, coming in with Isaac, especially Missouri, portions of Iowa, portions and probably all of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. This far out, though, it's going to be very hard to pinpoint the bullseye of the heaviest precipitation. But areas of the Corn Belt, some locations, could receive up to 3 to 5 inches of rain over a few days, late this weekend into the weekend.
And then are there other things in the Corn Belt that we need to talk about beyond Isaac?
Well, beyond Isaac, the pattern looks to stay fairly active. There will be a series of systems coming out of west central Canada, coming in and working with a frontal boundary that is going to be left behind. And the prospect for more rain after Isaac next week looks fairly good, even into some of the drier western Corn Belt areas, Iowa, eastern areas of Nebraska, portions of Kansas. Those areas look to be looking at the best chance of rain.
Good chances of rain, enough to keep the soybean crop looking better than it had been. Producers will be wanting to get into the field to take some corn out. Here's the question, though. Have we got enough of a change in the pattern that we're going to swing from being drought condition to being really, really wet, and that would add insult to injury, I suppose?
Well, the risk is there. Now, for you to ask me exactly where that will be, I can't tell you right now until we get a better idea, but there will be a band of heavy precipitation with Isaac that will go east-west across the Corn Belt, and then the bullseye of that, where there could be as much as 4 to 5 inches of rain or more in some locations, we could see go exactly opposite. Will it cover a lot of geography? Probably not, but there will be some areas impacted by Isaac, just as you described, where it may be a problem getting into the fields after it goes through.
Turn your attention to South America. How are they setting up for their planting season?
Well, as we look south, it looks like the weather pattern down south is going to start off fairly favorable. Argentina is going to be drier. That would be one area I'd point out that is looking at dry conditions, at least here in the short term. The better rain chances are going to be northern Argentina, maybe southern Brazil. Brazil is also an area that I would say, especially the southern growing areas, it could bring rain. So while there will be a few areas that are starting off okay, I would say that the overall trend in South America is looking a little bit dry, at least here over the next 10 days.
And finally, a very quick word. Let's come back to the northern hemisphere and the growing regions of China. They should be heading towards corn and soybean harvest as well.
They are. And right now the prospect is for a fairly active pattern in China. There will be some areas that may be a little bit on the wet side as they get harvest started.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.